know not only senior pastors have a story, but everybody that follows Jesus has a bug-zapping story to tell.
James Chapin has been helping out Pastor Sandy for 33 years. You know, he's got a few stories to tell.
And I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
James?
When I was 8 years old, I had a school project. I was 7 or 8 years old. I don't remember the exact time. I had a school project that I had to do. We had to draw and tell what superhero we wanted to be. And we had, this was in the mid-1960s, late 1960s, and we had the usual array of suspects: Superman, Batman, Aquaman, Captain America, and even Johnny Quest, if you all remember him. Well, after much consideration, I wrote that I wanted to be Robin. Now, Robin wasn't even on the list. You know, he was Batman's trusted companion. And at the time, it didn't mean much to me. And I found it a bit unique. As a matter of fact, in the class, I was the only guy who wanted to be Robin and not Batman. And, you know, I think it at that time, maybe God was working in my heart to kind of define my calling. I got saved when I was 13. And God began to make a huge change in my life. It was at a spring revival. I grew up in a good Baptist church. It was a strong church. And I remember I was sitting on the second row because I was frightened out of my mind. And as they sang the second verse to Just As I Am, I stepped out of my pew and became a Christian. And God began to instantly change me and do some great things in my life. I went almost overnight from being a C student to being a straight A student. God began to take this extremely shy young man, and I was shy. I wouldn't look you in the eye if I had to. I didn't like to do anything that drew attention to a person that was willing, at least willing, to stand up in front of people and to speak. And then at age 16, for the first time in my life, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't know what happened to me. I just knew that particular night, in the words of Peter, I was just filled with this joy unspeakable and full of joy. It was just an incredible experience that a friend and I had with the Lord. And around that same time, I sensed the call to be a pastor. Now, having grown up in a Southern Baptist church, that had a predetermined path. You went to high school, you went to college, and then you went to seminary. And so after graduating from high school, I went to Georgia Tech, state champions this year, Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And before I started school that year, on Labor Day weekend, my best friend and I went up to Louisville to Southern Seminary because we were thinking that's where we would go to school when we graduated. We had a friend up there, and so as we were driving home, I remember I turned to Barry and I said, you know what? This is not the path God has for me. And at that moment, I didn't know why I said that. I just knew as we were driving back that this wasn't for me. And God had a different plan, and I was confident that statement was right. Well, the very next week, as I'm commuting home from Georgia Tech, I drove down and back every day. I left my last class at noon, and I drove by the varsity, got me a chili dog, shake, my usual lunch during college. And at 12:30, I got in the car, and I was driving back, and I heard this guy on the radio for the very first time, just teaching the Bible verse by verse. It was the most strange experience I'd ever had because I'd never heard anything like it. And so as I'm listening, I'm thinking, who is this guy? And I remember the first day he had this real common name. And I remember when I got home, I couldn't even remember what it was. It was so common. And so the next day, I got in the car and I'm listening. And this time I had a pencil paper. I wrote it down. It was Pastor Chuck Smith. I thought, what a strange name for a pastor that can teach the Bible like this. And for the next 4 years... Yeah, for the next 4 years, I scheduled my schedule every day where I could be in the car from 12:30 to 1 o'clock to listen to the word for today. And for those 4 years, I got my degree from Georgia Tech, and I feel like I got a lot of my Bible college knowledge from Pastor Chuck. But Don and I, who were dating at the time, as a matter of fact, we were engaged at the time, we just had one problem. We had grown a real heart for Calvary Chapel. The only problem was we didn't know of a Calvary Chapel anywhere close to us. We didn't even know that there was one in Atlanta. It was way on the other side. We went one time. It wasn't really exactly what we were expecting. But it just wasn't feasible for us to go. And so after, it's probably July of 1981, Donna and I are getting ready to get married, and she's working at Rich's department store. And one night, she's talking to this gentleman who comes in who's waiting on his wife to shop, and she gets to talking to him. And I think she found out the guy had two sons, and I think he was going to fix her up with one of them, not knowing she was already taken. But he just mentions that he has two sons, and she said, well, what are they doing? He said, well, one of them's a pastor. And she said, oh, where? And she said, well, he's pastor of Calvary Chapel in Stone Mountain. And her jaw about dropped because nobody in Atlanta knew what Calvary Chapel was. And here was this guy telling her that somebody had started a church 10 minutes from where we lived. And so that next Sunday, we made our way over there. And it was the first time we'd ever walked in. And it was in the upstairs of an old building on 2nd Street in the little village of Stone Mountain. And we started attending every week. I think my parents thought we'd gotten involved in a cult, to be honest with you, because Pastor Sandy at the time, he was this motorcycle riding guy with long hair, and he wasn't driving a Harley, guys. He was driving a weird motorcycle, kind of, you know, one of those European versions. It wasn't a cool motorcycle like they have today. Well, the first Sunday we walked in, Pastor Sandy had just lost his worship leader. And it may have been the second Sunday, but I think it was the first. He had just lost his worship leader, and he was leading worship with a record player, and we were singing to the Praise Strings album. It was one of those things that seemed like a good idea at home, didn't exactly translate. Just when you didn't think it could get worse, we came the next week, and Pastor Sandy had scrapped that idea, and he was leading worship a cappella. For you guys from Alabama, that means there was no instrumentation. Well, that morning after the service, I walked up to Pastor Sandy and I told him, I said, you know, I don't know a whole lot about worship. I grew up in a Baptist church, and I don't know any of the songs that you play, but I can play guitar a little and I can sing a little. Would you like me to take a try at it? And I think out of pure desperation, he said, sure, bring your guitar. So that week, he taught me a few songs, and we gave it a go. And for the next 12 years, I had the privilege, and it was a privilege, of leading worship here at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain until finally God brought somebody along that could play and sing. I'm thankful for a desperate, patient pastor and a gracious congregation through those 12 years. Well, for the next 10 years, the church began to grow slowly. You got to understand, we were in a terrible facility, in a terrible location. We used to say you really had to want to find us because you weren't going to find us just by accident. And then when you got there, you really had to want to stay because you took one look, especially if you walked in and you thought, oh my goodness, what is going on? But, you know, the Lord was faithful and the Lord continued to grow the church. And well, for about 10 years, I was a volunteer. I was working in the retail business and I felt certain God had called me to the ministry, but over those 10 years, to be honest with you, I kind of lost it. My wife will tell you there were many times when I was just frustrated, and I would come home from my work, and I was thinking, this is not what I think God wants me doing, but there was no doors open, and so finally, through a series of events, I decided I had to leave the job that I was a part of. Wednesday night, I'm up at the church. I'm typing my resume up on one of the church computers. This was before the days of everybody having one. And Pastor Sandy walked in and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm resigning from the job that I was doing at the time. And he said, you're serious? I said, and I said, yeah, we had talked about it some. There were some reasons why I was leaving. And so on the way home that night, the Lord kind of spoke to him and said, you know, you're in need of an assistant pastor. Why don't you ask James? And so he called me the next day. And I'm at work. And he says, hey, how would you like to come work at the church? And I said, doing what? Because the idea of pastoring was so far from my mind at this point, I just couldn't believe it. But he said, well, come and assist me, be my assistant pastor. I said, okay, sure. And then I thought for a second, I said, wait a minute, let me go home and talk to my wife about this, and let me pray about it. And I called him the next day and said I'd be glad to. And come next week, Wednesday, May 13th, I will have been here for 24 years, my first day. And You know, Pastor Sandy knew how to break his assistant pastors in right, and some of you senior pastors need to know this. The very first day that I came to work, he had a reception for me, invited my family, invited some of our friends, people from the church. And so we had this wonderful, nice reception. Then when it was over, he said, okay, now you need to clean up your mess. And you know what? That was great training for becoming an assistant pastor. He gave me my very first job description. That day he said, you know what your job description is? I said, no, what is it? And he said, I just want you to be in charge of everything. I said, okay. Now that job description changed through the years. About 5 years ago, he gave me another job description. He gave me three things, and this really helped. He said, I want you to be in charge of the three D's, details, dollars, and discipleship. And that really helped me, because that's what I've been trying to do. And that's kind of my job description. I'm in charge of making sure the details happen, that the dollars get taken care of, and that people get discipled. You know, through the years, I kind of think of Pastor Sandy as the teacher. And I think God has kind of called me to be the tutor. And that's what I do. I do a lot of counseling. And I guess the one thing that I want to leave you guys with was several years ago, when I was praying about, okay, Lord, I'm a pastor now. Lord, what is your job description for me? The Lord gave me a job description. It comes out of Acts chapter 11, verse 23. It's where Barnabas went and spoke to the people there in Antioch. And it says, and when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all with it with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And that day when I read that verse, God spoke to me and said, James, that's what I want you to be. I want you to be an encourager. I want you to help my kids keep following me. And I think this was important because at the time, I was very frustrated because you know what I am not? I am not an evangelist. I'm a lousy evangelist. I mean, I share the Lord with people and they look at me like, okay, what does that mean? But you know what I have found I can do? I can encourage people to work through their problems. I've been called to encourage people to keep following the Lord. And you know, here's the thing. A lot of you out there today are Robins. You know, there's about 60 Batman here. There's a lot of Robins. And a lot of you are not content to be Robin. And I guess my word for you today is to find a contentment and a joy being the person that God has called you to be. You know, the difficulty of being Robin. I'll tell you what it is. There's a great blessings in being Robin, by the way. You're not responsible for everything. There is great joy in that. You know, when things go wrong, I always, Pastor Sandy, it was your idea, remember? No, I'm just in charge of details. There's great joy, but you know, there's difficulty sometimes in being Robin, and this is it. It is learning how to take orders. It's learning how to take the job description that God has given you and the job description that your pastor has given you, and to understand that those things blend together perfectly. That God didn't, there's no accident, that God chose to blend those two things together. And I just want to encourage you here today, boy, if you're a Robin and not a Batman, that God has a very special place for you in that church, that you're needed, that your pastor needs you. So don't give him such a hard time when he tells you he wants you to take care of things and when he tells you your job description. Embrace it and be thankful and say, hey, Lord, okay, this is the direction you want me to go. Thank you.